Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
This is a quick podcast while walking. I'm off to check on a mate of mine, Tim Mowers, who's done a few podcasts. He's 90 years old. I visit him every Friday. Now, one of the things I've learnt to do in life is keep to a schedule, and then people sort of don't ask as many questions, basically. So I visit him every Friday. Got a brief window of time before I go out and buy dinner for our assembled family. So what I thought I'd do is do this quandary here. Is people have a misconception, but it's not so much the fact that they do have a misconception. They have a misconception about their significance of their misconception. They have a misconception. They believe that they're above average intelligence. They believe people are more interested in them than they actually are. And they have a misconception about the misconception. So that obviously this misconception about misconceptions takes things into a whole new realm. It's just impossible to just clearly change things. Now I'm walking past these birds. They don't look like much, but they are plovers. And they have this bizarre way of looking at this one, which perhaps looks a bit sick over there. I hope it's okay. The other one, they're just leaving me alone, thank goodness, because they are quite dangerous birds. Yeah, are you okay there, mate? It's not looking too well. Okay. So this is misconceptions, and as a scientist, you say, oh, misconceptions, let's blow into it. But if people have a misconception that they actually do have a misconception, it's a lot more complex than that. Labouring over the misconception that they have no misconceptions, they're wondering what are you doing? Quite sort of a natural thing. When you go up to it, it's exquisitely fine-tuned. It's not just a misconception floating away from things. It's actually embedded. And in general, you have this basic thing that man is a social animal, and from looking at all social animals, this is from dogs to sort of higher order things, elephant packs, what are they called? Any group of animals have a system of where they can actually cheat. Now, cheat sounds awful, but let's talk about a few other terms. There's also the view of personality or behaviour. And so in, say, chickens, for instance, that you peck, you get a pecking order. So you know your place in the pecking order, and that allows things to go forward. So you have the idea of self, which is sort of your contract with the group, that you're going to behave in a particular way. So your self, image of self, consistently gets projected, which gives you a system of rules that you can operate. So if you're a self and you think you're a king, you operate as a king. But if you are a self and you think you operate as a serf, that's them. And all of this is set up, and it's imperfect, and it is properly profitably tested by cheating. This is where allow deception, or if you'd like, misconception, to flourish to your advantage against the advantage of the group. So if you take more than your fair share, you're cheating, and in general your contract is with the group, and the group has a contract that people don't get a fair distribution. So the king's people at the top get more, and so you can cheat by taking stuff for yourself and not giving it to the group. So you can say for the benefit of the group, but the benefit of the group can be defined such as sort of group sanctioned cheating. So group sanctioned cheating is like this group sanctioned misconceptions And there's all this craft going ahead with misconceptions, trying to work out how it all operates. So a misconception itself is high value stuff. Know-how is something which you can purchase, buy, and misconception is the keys to the kingdom. So the art is creating a misconception which is generally accepted, grumbling begrudgingly accepted by the group for the benefit of the group. The group can only function where if people actually say they have certain misconceptions that they're ready to go forward with. And so you've got to be sensible of this when you're saying, judging your way forward. I'm just going to see where this bald chap is here. Just bump into him. Yeah, he says, doors open. I'll have a good old chat to him. Must have been a hot day today here. Yeah, so this is interesting in that if there is a mechanism to embed and sustain misconceptions, one has to be sensible of it. One can't re-engineer something which you cannot undo. You're like, you can't. Essentially, if you want to build a knowledge system, you've got to find a greenfield method of building it. I'm going to stop this for the moment as I go and check on my friend Tim. Okay, we're back podcasting, just checking it's coming through. Yeah, excellent. Just went to visit my mate Tim, 9-year-old person, had a time. I've got to get back and get food for the family. Shit, I'm trying to get through here. You can hear the gate going along. And we're talking about misconceptions and where misconceptions are sponsored by a group for particular purposes. That's a deception, isn't it? Obviously, if I have a liter of water somewhere, it's going to be a hot day, go out, and then your friend goes around, has a bit of a drink, puts it back, and then you say, how's the water? It's perfectly fine. You had a conception, now it's a misconception, but because it's involved in a group or social thing, it's now promoted to a deception. And obviously there's the risk of punishment that, you know, people are going to get upset if they're deceived. So overall, there's this hope that you're not going to want the water anyway, or you will not know what the cause of it is. You won't be able to have sufficient information to unpack the deception. So the deception is through. It's got the advantage. It's an advantage to you, a disadvantage to other people. Now, this means that if you say, well, look, I've got a method of removing misconceptions, people will say, well, look, a fraction of those misconceptions are deceptions. A fraction of those deceptions will mean that I will eventually get punished at the end of the day. So you have this system where you walk in, you waltz in, and you say, look, here I'm going to clean up this town, ain't big enough for the two of us, so to speak. And I think there's that from the Westerns, this town ain't big enough for the two of us. It really is a sort of pecking order situation. A whole lot of social baggage goes with deceptions, conceptions, misconceptions, stuff like that. And it means that if you go up and say, oh, look, sure, I'm pretty sure that I checked. And people say, well, this is the liter of water. Pretty sure I checked that. And people say, are you absolutely sure? They've got a lot of vested interest in denigrating a system which creates conceptions or correct concepts. Now, obviously, the process of science is basically conjecture, quality control. People associate science with accuracy. It's the quality control of facts. It's just that we have a method of experimentation which says I will make a conjecture and I will quality control that conjecture based on hunches and various other things, and assess whether that is a workable thing, whether I should accept or reject it. So there's a quality control system, and of course associated with it is the fact that you need an interface with the world, because you have to get confidence in the quality control. So there's a quality control of quality control, which part of that quality control of quality control is candor, a scientific candor of disinterest in the result, and you're acting on the behalf of society and of nature. You're honest brokering, and you're bringing the two together such that there is a mutual benefit, that nature benefits from humanity and humanity benefits from nature. And your role is not to profit yourself or be involved, but to be a bit like a lawyer presenting the case of humanity to nature. So that's what's going on. Of course, that's very much different from the partisan view of good enough to actually fit for purpose. And that's one thing that we have in science education, all these ideas are fit for purpose. Now I have to eventually now creep in my car and get dinner. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.